Welcome to the Honestly Carly podcast, the truth about staying strong, sane, and seen in midlife. This is the podcast where fitness, hormone health, and real life collide, hosted by me, Carly Corrigal, midlife PT and former lawyer. I'm here with honest conversations about what it actually takes to feel incredible over 40, because yep, that's still possible. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Honestly Carly podcast. I am your host, Carly Corrigal, and this week is a little bit of a spicy one, so buckle up. We're dialing in. I think as we go through these weeks, and I know I have lots of you that listen week in, week out, I think that actually I get bolder in what I'm prepared to discuss with you and how I'm prepared to phrase it. So I hope this is going to resonate with you. Now, I guess this has come about, this episode. It's one I've wanted to record for a while, and it is a little bit of a rant from me, but it's come about as a result of some messages that I've received, some comments I've had on some social media posts, and just generally what I'm seeing online. And if you've listened to my previous podcast about strength training, there's also a little bit of an update in here on that, because we have got some exciting new research that I want to share with you. But above all else, okay, this is about body image and how I think sometimes as women in midlife, we limit ourselves because we have these ingrained ideas of how we should look. And we can be so unkind to ourselves with our bodies. And that very conditioned response can hold us back with our fitness. So I want to talk about messages that I've received, and I'm not going to go into kind of the exact wording. And if this is you and you're listening and you're like, oh shit, I sent her a message like this, I am not calling you out. This is by no means me demeaning you or laughing at you in any way, right? I want to be kind about this. I have a lot of respect for people that send me messages, and I want to be honest, because when I read things like this, it does make me feel sad, because not because they said it, but because of everything that have made them made this person feel like they need to. So the first message I want to talk to you about is one from a woman who was joining my Train with Carly membership. And this is my online fitness program. And she'd said something along the lines of, I'm really excited to start, but I just want to say though, I really don't want to get bulky. Okay. And then another one was a message from a woman asking about squats. And she had said something along the lines of, oh gosh, my legs are big enough as they are. And it does. It, you know, these women have both chosen of their own volition to join a strength training program. They have done the research, they'd paid their money, they committed, and yet they were still carrying this fear in with them. Like a bag they didn't even know they were holding. I mean, how many times do I do that these days? At the moment, actually, it's my sunglasses. I'm often like, where are my sunglasses? Oh, they're in my hand. But in all serious, you know, I want to talk about this. I don't want to get bulky belief. Where it came from initially, why it refuses to die, why I think it's really damaging, and why I think we need to completely reframe this conversation. Because the risk here is not the bulk, my friend, right? The risk is something else entirely. And if you have a friend or a sister or maybe even a mum or an auntie who still thinks that goal is to be as thin as possible, then I'd love for you to share this episode, send it to them, because I'm talking to them today as much as I am talking to you, okay? So before we dive into the research, and as I say, there's some exciting stuff that's coming through that I think is going to be hugely validating if you've already decided that you're on the strength training path. But I want to talk about this belief, because it's so ingrained. You know, how many times have you met a friend for coffee and you've complimented her outfit and she's gone, oh God, I'm just having a day when I feel a bit fat, but thanks. Or, you know, the same thing that I talked about earlier with those messages, people saying, oh, I've started doing this strength training program, but I'm a little bit worried that my arms are getting a bit big. We are often so quick to critique our own bodies. You know, I do get messages actually that are talking about other women's bodies and critiquing other women's bodies and how we don't want to look like them, but with ourselves. And if you were a woman, which you will be if you're listening to this, I expect, growing up in 70s, 80s, 90s, or probably actually the early noughties, that kind of Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera phase, right? Then you were essentially raised on this aesthetic that celebrated one thing above all others, which was being small, right? The thinner, the better. Less was more. You know, we were treated to those awful magazines with the ring of shame around people's cellulite or bulgy bits or back fat and all these awful bingo wings, awful, awful expressions, right? Invisible muscle was like controversial. I don't know if you can remember. I can't think what phase it was of her very many phases that she's been through in her evolution of her image. But Madonna, when she sort of came back and she had these really muscular arms, and everyone was like, oh, how unfeminine. Oh, it's too much. So manly, right? Which just seems completely bizarre now. But this stuff is still going on, my friend, in corners of the internet. And this is why sometimes I think, am I just in an echo chamber where we just don't say things like this? But do you know what? We've been swimming in this water our whole lives. And you don't notice it when you've been swimming in it for your whole life. So I think there's just this very much ingrained cultural idea that, you know, being strong, having muscle is something unfeminine and something to be feared. Fast forward now to 2026. And as I say, you might think we've moved past this. And in some ways we have, because I think there is far more representation of strong women in sport and fitness than there has ever been. You've only got to look at the comparison between female tennis players today versus when Venus and Serena first came onto the scene, and they were kind of like the antithesis of what female tennis players had looked like, in that they were muscular, they were strong, they were powerful. And nowadays, you know, I think we see a much better visual representation of all different shapes and sizes in sport, and it's not about an aesthetic. But why am I even having to talk about this? I shouldn't be having to talk about the way somebody's body looks. It should just be about what they can do and how they are and how they feel in themselves, because how you look on the outside is absolutely not a visual representation of how you are in terms of your health and on the inside. And this is the tricky thing, because I can't do this podcast and not talk about this. It's like the elephant in the room. And I think this is why it's taken me quite a few episodes to get around to doing it, because it does rear its head so much. And never more so than in midlife, when our bodies are changing, often in ways that we didn't anticipate, that we don't always understand. So we become hypercritical and hyper aware of how our body shapes are transforming, essentially, as we go through this whole perimenopause and menopause process. And I think also, worryingly for women of our generation, not only have we got this backdrop of one size is only what we should be aspiring to, be as small as possible, but we have this sort of troubling resurgence of what I'd call the thinness ideal. I've seen it referred to as like skinny talk. I'm not on TikTok, but there we go. But particularly on social media, and this content that glorifies extreme leanness. Now, again, I'm not demonizing women who are naturally slim or who have a slim physique. Absolutely not, right? But we're talking here who this kind of trend that reframes restriction and being as skinny, as thin as possible as aspiration, right? And the algorithms that serve this content to women at scale, okay? And this noise exists whether we like to pretend it doesn't. And I do, I like to just not think about it, but then it just rears its head and I have to talk about it. And I think it's so acute for women who are now in their 40s and 50s, because we've literally had decades of this bullshit, right? It shapes what women feel is acceptable to want for their bodies. Decades of being told that being small is about success. And I do not want this, I don't want to get bulky fear that might be lurking in the background, or, oh God, my legs are big enough as it is, right? It's a cultural hangover, okay? It's not you being vain. It's not often not a personal quirk, right? And understanding this, that it is part of something, a messaging that we have just had hammered home to us for so many years, is the first step to releasing it. And I just want to touch on actually that idea of getting bulky, because when we're looking at what that means, I think we all have this kind of visual idea of what bulky means, right? It's very unlikely actually that you are going to get bulky. I can't say for definite what strength training will do to your aesthetic, because I'm not about building an aesthetic here. I'm not in that kind of world where we're looking at bodybuilding and physique and, you know, being as sort of muscular as possible. But it's very specific, and more power to the women that do achieve those big muscles, because it's bloody hard. It's bloody hard work, right? I celebrate them, be proud of them. But your average woman, you'd really have to be doing a lot of dedicated training, a lot of very specific nutritional programming to get that muscle in the first place. What happens when most women strength train properly? Well, I mean, they feel stronger, right? Go figure. Their posture improves, you know, their energy changes. They feel more solid in their body. They feel more capable, more grounded, more able to go off and do life's adventures, right? So I don't want you to fear that bulk, because it's very unlikely you're going to get big visible muscles from just doing a few sessions a week, lifting weights that are heavy for your body, okay? This is a fear that has been planted in women's minds, which is completely unfounded anyway, right? But I want to talk more about what happens when you don't build muscle. And I want to introduce you to this idea of your biological pension pot. Okay, and this is an analogy that I like using with my clients. I recently helped contribute to a piece, actually, and it actually made it into the media. I was contributing to a piece on Liz well-being, and they used this, and I love that they used it because I think it's probably the easiest way to think about it. So when we think about your muscle mass, I want you to think about you are paying in when you're building that muscle into a biological pension pot that you are going to reap the rewards of in your latter years. And it's this idea of having muscle span, okay? So you've not just got your lifespan, which is how long we're going to live for, but we're looking at your muscle span, how long your muscle is going to be working for you, because it's so important, okay? If we're not able to use our muscle functionally, that is going to lead to a very miserable, very debilitating old age. And by doing this strength training, we're not only benefiting our muscle, but as I've talked about in previous pods, we are also benefiting our bone. So, so important. Okay. So think of it as your biological pension pot, right? So if you are paying into a pension, the proper advice would be to start as early as possible and to chip away at it, keep building in those small little deposits. Hopefully that pension grows. Sometimes it doesn't. You know, investments are risky, right? But you don't just get to like the moment you're going to retire and think, right, well, what do I do now? Okay, you pay in. You don't just kind of wait till the end and expect a return, all right? Muscle is exactly the same. And I'm not saying this to scare you if you haven't already got properly started, but the best time to start is now. That yes, it would have been ideal if you'd known about this 20 years ago, which you probably didn't because I didn't, but it's never too late to start. So what we know is that we naturally start to lose muscle from our 30s. So it's around 3-8% of our muscle mass per decade after the age of 30. This process, which is technically called sarcopenia, you may see that sort of chucked around, it accelerates over the age of 60 and around the menopause transition in women. And we don't really know why. We don't know whether that is purely down to hormones or whether that is associated just with getting older, but we know it's going to happen. So really, if you're not using it, you will lose it, my friend, okay? Time and time again, we are seeing research that shows that this is such a powerful tool that we have in our armory, this strength training, to really guard against it as we get older. It's so, so important. In fact, I want to touch on this now because there was some research published this year and it was looking at metabolism, actually. It was a fairly small scale study published in 2026. And basically it was measuring resting metabolism. And I want to do more of a deep dive on metabolism in a future pod, but it was looking at resting metabolism and post-meal metabolism in women. And there was around, I think it's about 65 women, and they were divided into three groups. So one group was premenopausal, so hadn't started perimenopause yet. One group was perimenopausal and one group was postmenopausal. And what they were looking to establish was whether there was any kind of decline or drop off in metabolism as these women went through the menopausal process, because you expect that based on what you hear in the media and personal experiences, really, of, you know, oh, I feel like my metabolism slowed. But do you know what they found? No difference. When they looked, when they had similar body composition, so they were doing a DEXA scan, which again, I've talked about in a previous pod, which measures the ratio of fat to lean muscle and looks at your bones. When the women were leveled, their body composition and their movement behaviors, okay, perimenopausal women or premenopausal women didn't have any difference to those postmenopausal women. It maybe wasn't what people expected to see. Okay, but do you know what had the biggest impact on how fast these metabolisms are? And we don't say metabolisms fast or slow, but for the want of putting it in a way that's going to be immediately understandable. Do you know what the biggest determiner was? Right? Muscle. Right? Muscle. The women with the most muscle had the fastest metabolisms, right? And how do we build that? Strength training. And metabolic disease is a big problem for society, a big problem, okay? We do not want to go into metabolic decline as we get older, But we can fight against that. This is another tool in our armory, building the muscle, the very same muscle that people are criticizing and saying, oh, but I don't want to get bulky, right? Okay. Your metabolism isn't the problem as you get older. If this study is anything to go by, your muscle is the lever and you can still pull on that lever. But the longer you wait, the more you have to recoup what's been lost versus like maintaining and building on what's already there. Okay. This is your pension pot. We are paying into it now. It's really, really important. The time to invest is now, my friends. The time to invest is now. I also want to talk a little bit about another chunky piece of research that's come out. And this is really important. And you might have seen this referred to in other sources. But in March of this year, March 2026, the American College of Sports Medicine published a new position stand, which is basically their kind of overall summary of the research on resistance training. So resistance training, strength training, interchangeable terms, really. If you're not familiar with the American College of Sports Medicine, I'm going to abbreviate to ACSM because my God, my teeth are not in today. They are one of the most authoritative bodies in exercise and sports medicine in the world. And this update really mattered because the last update, I think, was 2009, a really long time ago. And we've got a whole, you know, swathe of research since then on muscle health, on aging. So what this position stand looked at was 137 systematic reviews, okay, covering data from more than 30,000 participants. So it is huge, my friends. It's not one study with 50 participants, which is useful, but it's not massive, right? This is the most comprehensive evidence-based guidance on strength training that we have to date, okay? And it found several things. And it's really, really interesting when you dive into it. And again, I might do a whole podcast in the future just on this. But, and I think this is the headline, right? From the ACSM's lead researcher, he said that the best resistance training program is the one that you'll actually stick with. Okay. The main thing was consistency being the priority. Okay. Really, really important. They also said that going to a gym wasn't necessary, and which is great news for anyone doing my classes, that doing home-based routines also have marked benefits. Okay, so their recommendation, and it does vary depending on what you want to specifically do with your strength training, but just briefly, their overarching recommendation was that you train all major muscle groups at least 2 days a week and that you build that gradually over time. And I think this is really key because it doesn't have to be like crazy going to the gym all the time, hour-long sessions. It really doesn't have to be that at all. So it, again, it's consistency that is absolutely the most important thing here. Okay, so I think this is where it gets uncomfortable because they also looked at the backdrop to this and they noted that around 60% of adults are doing no muscle strengthening exercises at all. Okay, and I'm pretty sure that won't be you because you're listening to this. So I'm hopeful that you are not one of those people, right? And I wanted to see what the stats were a little bit closer to home and a little bit more related to women, because what we know is that there is consistently, there's that word again, a lack of uptake by women in the strength training space, which I think in part is down to this body image. I think there's lots of other factors, but I do think that has a big part to it. And I was shocked by this, right? I was shocked. The stat I found suggested that only 4% of women are meeting the actual definition of muscle strengthening exercise guidelines. Not 40, not 14, 4%. Oh my God, that's insane, right? So when I talk about underinvestment in this pension pot, this is what I mean. This is the scale of the problem. Okay, and I, you know, included in that will be women who are doing exercise, but there will be a huge swathe of those women who are not specifically and intentionally building muscle in the way that their bodies need right now. Okay, which is what I talk about. We need to be doing this intentionally, all right, to build this biological pension pot. But it is just so bloody important, my friends. It's absolutely crucial. And I want to speak directly to those of you who are already strength training. And I do think that's most of you listening. I think some of you might be on the fence thinking, oh God, I need to get around to that. And hopefully you listen to last week's pod, which is basically just the JFDI of podcasts. Just get on with it, right? But, you know, let's assume that most of you listening to this are, and you've already made that mental shift. You're already showing up. You're already doing the thing. All right. And here is the question I want you to sit with. And I want you to think about, is your training actually doing the job that your body needs it to do right now? Because it's all very well saying, yes, I strength train, but are you actually doing it properly? Okay. And this is something I'm constantly thinking about. And it's why I continually update how I write programs inside Train with Carly, my membership, because the research moves on. And when it does, we have to move with it. All right. I think I've said it before in this pod, but oh my goodness, my inbox every week, I've set up a research updates and I get loads every week. Some of it is a load of old crap, I'll be honest with you, but genuinely I read them. And when something changes the way I understand how to train, particularly, you know, us specifically as midlife women, I update what I do accordingly. And going back to the ACSM's 2026 guidance, I think it makes something very clear that is worth me spelling out. And the specific variables that most reliably drive your strength gains are lifting heavier, all right? So they actually recommend 80% of your one rep max or above. So your one rep max is literally the heaviest weight that you could lift for one repetition, like heave, and then we're done, okay? So they want you to work at about 80% of that through a full range of motion for 2 to 3 sets and at least twice a week. So that's quite specific, isn't it, to build that strength. And I think we need to come away from this idea that lifting heavy weights will make you bulky. And I think we want to really focus on what it can do for you. What can this do? Like, seriously, we really want to be thinking about what the benefits are for our bodies long term. There is so much here. And I'm not saying, right, that every session needs to be brutal. I'm not saying you need to be like white knuckling through some horrible ordeal with your strength training. But what I'm saying is that just going to a gym class a few times a week and doing the strength training that your body actually needs right now to build this serious muscle, to build the bone that's going to keep you held up and going on adventures in your 80s, right, are not necessarily the same thing. Okay? We really need to be challenging ourselves here, ladies. It's so important. Women are showing up. They are working hard, but we're not always given that information that we need to make that effort count in the specific way that our bodies need now. And that is what is most important here, I think. Now, I'm going to wrap this up shortly because I feel like I have been on my soapbox and there's quite a lot of info to take in here, and I will put links to those studies in the show notes. But I said at the start that I wanted to speak today to the women in your life who still haven't made this shift. And I get messages. In fact, what I love about Train with Carly is that I have a lot of women my age whose mums are also doing my classes. And I also have women who are maybe in their 60s and 50s whose daughters are doing this program with them, which I absolutely love. I mean, it's just bloody good programming, my friends, right? It's just whatever age you are, I'm just giving you a solid background, okay? But I love it nothing more when someone says, oh, I hope you don't mind, but I shared your class with my mum and I'm really hoping she's going to join, because I want to speak to the women today in your life who still haven't made the shift, who maybe are still chasing thinness and being small above their health, who are doing the things they've always done, which might be like a ton of cardio, but no strength training, and whose goal is still to take up less space rather than to build more capacity, right? And I get it. I genuinely get it. You know, some of my closest friends still have these beliefs, and I wish I could just like take that little bit out of their brain for them and give them a bit of relief, because I have so much compassion for that, because it was handed to them. It wasn't something that they chose. And the culture gave them that goal and they've just run with it because that's what you do. But I want to offer a reframe here, my friends, right? Pursuing this goal and running away from this getting bulky thing through restriction, through that endless cardio, through avoiding the thing that actually is going to protect you long term, that is not a safe strategy. Okay. It is, in fact, I think, a form of long term self-neglect dressed up as discipline. Because the woman who is running every day, eating less, keeping herself as small as possible and never ever picking up something heavy because she thinks it's not for her, is going to be drawing down on a pension pot that she's never paid into. And that is absolutely criminal. It's so unfair. And she will feel that. Maybe not this week, maybe not this year, but over time, She will feel it in her energy, her strength, her resilience, her recovery, her ability to do the things that she loves, those runs, those cycles, whatever that might look like, without injury or exhaustion. They talk about osteoporosis as being a silent illness. You don't know that you have it until you break a bone. Muscle loss doesn't send you a warning letter. It just makes everything a little bit harder year on year, until one day things that used to be automatic require effort, you know, even things like getting off the loo. It's at that point, it takes significantly more work to reverse. And I don't want anyone listening to this to think, oh my God, I'm too far gone, particularly if you are an older woman. Absolutely not. And I have women who are in their 70s doing my classes. Absolutely. I want to get women in their 80s doing it. I don't know enough women in their 80s, but I have women in their 70s doing it, in their 60s. Okay. And for those women who used to feel secure in this area of their life in fitness before, I'm talking to you. You might have always been the fit one in your group of friends. You might have always felt you knew what you were doing, right? And then something shifts and the results stop matching the effort and the niggles sneak in and the identity wobble sets in and you're like, well, what? Maybe I'm not good at this anymore. That's not a discipline problem. That is you not working with your physiology, and it's not too late to start. It has a solution, but it requires a different approach than you are used to. You need something different now. You need to be building the muscle and you need to let go of that fear as much as possible. And I'm here to support you with it. You know, we're in this together. And trust me, I have the same conditioning that you do. And it has taken some unraveling, but you absolutely can get through it, my friends. Okay. So if you are recognizing yourself anywhere in this episode, and I do get messages every week going, oh my God, are you in my brain? It felt like you were talking to me. And I never want you to feel any shame. Send me those messages, because it means that it's resonating and that's what I'm hoping, right? But whether that's in the fear, the confusion, or just the sense that like your training is not working, or maybe it's not quite working as well as it could, just notice it. Notice what you are currently doing specifically to build and maintain your muscles and your bones, not to move, not to be sweaty, not to help your mental health, but to actually specifically challenge your muscles to adapt and grow, because that question matters and that will tell you a lot. Okay, let me bring this home. I said 5 minutes ago I was doing that. Now I really am, okay? So I think this fear of getting bulky is like old messaging and it can really get in the bin, but it's running on autopilot in us. And we have moved on, ladies. We have moved on. It was never really true anyway that we were going to get bulky, right? But it's especially irrelevant now, when what your body actually needs is more muscle, my friends, not less. Muscle is your biological pension pot. It is that tissue that underpins your metabolism, your strength, your resilience, your long-term independence, okay? And those recent studies are absolutely unambiguous on this. Resistance training, strength training is not optional for your long-term health. It is essential. And most women, the vast, vast majority of women, are still not doing enough of it. If you're already training, bloody brilliant, hats off to you, love it. But the question is whether your training is specifically calibrated for what your body needs in this stage of life. I'm not saying that you need to be like doing a specific number of reps and sets, but we need to think about whether that intensity is right, whether it is challenging enough for you, whether you are doing it frequently enough and consistently enough, okay? And that you're not stuck with training that worked a decade ago, when maybe you get by with a bit more cardio and a bit less strength, right? So if you want that handled for you, if you want to know that every session you do is like actually doing its job and that your training is built specifically for your midlife woman's physiology, and from somebody who understands the nuance and understands the pressure and will chat this through with you, then that's exactly what I do. Inside Train with Carly, we train together live and on demand. The programming is progressive, the intensity is appropriate and adaptable, and I genuinely update it continuously as the research evolves, because that's how I think it should always be done. So at the moment, you might not notice it if you're a regular, but I am subtly shifting our rep ranges and the type of loads that we're moving and how we're doing it. And we're doing a little bit more of some things, a little bit less of others. So I'm constantly updating it. So I'll pop the link to that in the show notes. Come and have a look, and you can always message me on Instagram if you have any questions around that. And again, please, please share this episode. Send it to that friend, that sister, your mum, anyone who is still running herself ragged, trying to be smaller, when what she actually needs is to be stronger, okay? She doesn't need to be talked into anything, but she just needs this information, and then she can make her own decision, okay? And we're all just doing it with love, all right? Right, my friends, thank you so much for listening. That's me done for this week. I will see you next Thursday. Go, promise me you'll go and lift something heavy in a safe way. Okay, bye for now. Thank you for listening to Honestly Carly. If you love today's chat, then why not share it with a friend? Don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. And if you're feeling really kind, leave a 5-star review. I'll see you next time for more honest chat and science-backed strategy for feeling strong, confident, and capable in midlife. Have a great week.